Oh, I actually have much more than I can preach in a short time. So, and half of the time should be sharing how God has worked. And so I think I'll begin sharing, and then we have been in Germany for 34 years. And actually in February, we made the transition back to the States to retire, although I don't know where in the scriptures it says we're to retire. However, we are back. We are living in Platteville, Wisconsin, and it's a very big transition. We are feeling the difference. Every day in Germany, we would have up to 15 people ringing our doorbell, or in a week when it was a normal week, when it wasn't COVID, we would have up to 600 people in a week go through the ministry center for worship services or other groups and helping ministries and everything that was happening. So now we're on a street that is very quiet. but it's called Grace Street, and we think that's sort of funny also, but God has his humor. when we began our ministry, we thought it looked almost impossible, because we had to learn two languages, German and Turkish, and also two cultures, work between them to reach Muslims, who at that time looked almost impossible, because up until that point, we had only heard of one or sometimes none who had come to the Lord in entire ministries, over in someone's entire lifetime of ministry. And yet, it was clear that God wanted them reached, wanted us to take the step of faith, move in that direction, to reach Muslims with the gospel. And so we took that step in 87 and arrived in Wiesbaden, and were there for 3 years, and then went to Gelsenkirchen after a year in Turkey and a year in the States. We went to Gelsenkirchen for 10 years, and then after that, 11 years in, or not, not 11, 21 years in Duisburg. It was a lot of, God led us each time through prayer. And the prayers, someone asked me to write a list of, I think it was 5 significant answers to prayer. And as I began doing that, I couldn't stop and had 35, and I knew there were many more. But it showed me how God had led us step by step through prayer. And the things that we saw happen, we had originally, with a team, put together a list before we left for Germany. And I didn't look at the list until just a few years ago, but I was shocked, because it was a full page like this, every line filled of goals, and at that point we had accomplished almost all of them except the last 3. And I hadn't looked at it, but I realized that God was the one who accomplished it. just like when during our time in Gelsenkirchen, I was wondering, what are we doing in Relation Church Planting? We had helped with outreach, and we had done a number of different things, and we had seen the Lord bring some to himself. We had had small groups that we had been helping with, and then suddenly I put a picture together of these evangelistic outreaches, the people who came to the Lord through those, and then who came to the Lord through them, and then churches, and suddenly I realized we were planting churches because those people were coming to the Lord and planting churches. So the amazing thing is that we often think that we have to do everything ourselves. And in reality, God is the one who's doing it. Just like the ministry center, I thought that was impossible. I had written a paper about it. I saw the need, but there was no money, no place to meet, no good place for seeing Turks every day. And within 5 months, our prayer group had been meeting for nine months, but someone from that group said, "Have you ever considered a ministry center?" And this was just 6 days before 9/11. And I had to say yes, but I didn't tell him that I thought it was impossible. And he said, "Would you like to look at a building?" And I agreed because I thought we need to encourage this pastor, whether it's impossible or not. And so we looked at the building, and it turned out to be two buildings. And then they turned out to be cheaper than what we would normally pay, one-third of the price. And then they had rental units within them. Suddenly I realized God had put this in our laps, and he wanted a ministry center in the middle of the heaviest Turkish region in Germany, which is the heaviest outside of the historic Turkic areas of the world. Means it's a crossroads. It means it's a place to announce the gospel among Turks, because they'll go out from there everywhere else. And so God did that. We didn't do that. And then we've, over the years, we've seen this develop. I think I showed this last time we were here, but it wasn't as developed. And basically, this is from 17. However, there's well over 30 churches. I lost count around 2017, 2018, because as we helped develop pastors, supported the pastors, they then went out and they planted other churches. And then those churches planted other churches. And it's been a chain reaction. So this is the ministry center. Before that, we had seen God do some work, but then it's exploded. But that's not because I was the one doing it. I was not the one in the center. Initially, I was asked, what vision do I have? What direction is the ministry center going? And they took those things and put them in their hearts and then started to carry out the work. So I then supported them, taught them, gave them Bibles, encouraged, did everything possible, but I wasn't the pastor of a Turkish church. I had to sort of push, this was hard, push them away. Push that position away from me so that they could have that position, because then it became an indigenous church. And that's how it really exploded. So we praise the Lord for what he's done. And then in the last few years, we've seen the relationships between the churches develop, first of all. So sort of a networking, and there's now a formal network organization. And then the German denominations with the Turkish churches, there's been more and more contact that we've brought together with them. And then I call it a pastoral training school or church leaders training school, where they can be supported and given more information, because many of these people have, they've had some of them third to eighth grade level school, sometimes high school, but rarely. And so it's meant really giving them the priorities of what the scriptures say, showing them, giving them an understanding of theology, which many of them actually have picked up in other ways also. And then God's Spirit has worked in their lives. And that has been exciting. So we've watched a movement begin, which is what we had wanted to see from the beginning. The passage this morning is very simple, but not so simple. It's from John 12:32, and it's, I'll read it here. I'll actually start at 30. This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Well, this is a very full verse. When I am lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Because it also implies his resurrection. He is our risen Lord. But he died at the hands of the people around him. It was a real death. He knew what, as a result, it's clear that he knew what we both feel and suffer. But in some ways, it was much more intense because he was taking on the sin of not just one person, but everyone, when he himself was sinless. He was the perfect, or is the perfect lamb, that was offered to God on our behalf as a final sacrifice for us, for our sins. And no other sacrifice would satisfy our need. His blood washed away our sins. That's really amazing when you think about that, that our sin could be washed away. He took the burden of our sins upon himself that we may be free. He brought us through this forgiveness from God, which then opened up the possibility of our relating to God, the creator of all things, and our Father. For all men, his death was also for all men. Greeks, who are mentioned actually earlier in this chapter, and Jews, who are also mentioned later, and then if you look at Matthew 28:19, all ethnic groups, he had a heart for everyone. The interesting thing, I heard a testimony from an Arab man who was one of the top leaders in Islam for the Arab world, actually Islamic world, a few years ago. And he, in his testimony, said he had had a vision of Christ. And as he came close to him, he saw all the various ethnic groups represented in just his appearance. That I found that interesting, amazing when you think. But he identifies with us, not just with them, not just with us. He knows us. And those who were not expected to respond, I would say the Greeks, responded. And those who were expected to respond, were resistant until later. Some accepted and some rejected. But he died for all of them. This is the culmination of the epic battle between God and Satan. And as I've, it just seems, the more I look at things, at history, at lives, at family histories, at many different aspects of life, the more I see this battle taking place between God and Satan. We have often a very secular worldview. I was a physics major, so I had a very physics-oriented worldview at one time. And yet I was a believer. But as God answered some prayers in unusual ways, he blew my whole understanding apart as to how powerful he really is and who he is and how he's working in my life and how he's working around us. We are part of this battle. And it began at the beginning with the fall of Adam and Eve and has continued ever since, every day. And we are in the midst of it. But he is with us. And he says, "Fear not, I am with you." Because through his death, he had victory. He had the authority over Satan. The decision for him to die on our behalf was God's will. His own choice, his plan to save us. To go through everything he went through, it was his choice. He humbled himself. In Philippians, it mentions how he humbled himself out of love to save us. God became a man and a servant to death, even descending to hell for us before he was raised. Yeah, that's really hard to fathom, that he, the perfect righteous one, the perfect Lamb, God himself, would allow himself to go to the depths for us. But God exalted him, and he was raised. Raised on the cross. It says, "When I am raised up," he was raised on the cross. This is similar to Moses, the scene with Moses, and people were to look at the snake that Moses had raised up. But it was of faith. We are to look at the cross. We are to look at Christ and what he has done for us through faith. He was raised from the dead through the power of God's Spirit. And this power is the same word as dynamite, dynamo, or dynamus, I think. Dynamus. Anyway, in Romans 8. And the implication also from another passage is that we will also be raised from the dead with that same power. We did the interesting thing. We have, in our ministry, we have seen how God has healed people in very clear fashion. How people have also been released from demonic oppression and possession. But we even saw a woman who had passed away during childbirth. After her husband and 20 other men came to pray for her as she laid there in the hospital, covered. They prayed a half an hour aloud, and the doctors wanted to sedate him, but he said no. And so it was crazy for a German hospital, German Catholic hospital. The Turkish and Bulgarian speakers praying very loudly over her. And half an hour later, she came back to life. God did that. And she's still alive, still praising the Lord. And he was raised, or let's see, he was raised through God's exaltation of him. So he not only was raised from the dead, but he also was raised into the heavens. This word, he was, when I'm raised up, well, it's a continuum. And he was raised into the heavens. And before he said that, he said he was going to return. He came as a man and he left as a man, God's son. We can also serve and minister as he did, with the same humility. In fact, he expects it. He mentions the poor and the needy, and how when we minister to them in love, helping others in need, how we are helping him. And the ministry center, in the ministry center, we did seek to do helping ministries for several reasons. One was just to make contact with people. But another is, it was showing God's love and hope to people who needed God's love and hope. And so, as a result, God used that to draw some to himself and multiplied believers, partly through that, the helping ministries, which included teaching German, going to people with people to offices to help them with different official business, writing letters for them, children's groups. My wife also, she was very, actually one time I should say, we had a group of people. We didn't often have many people other than two of us, but we had a group of people all doing different ministries for a period of time, and I sat down and I listed who was doing what, and suddenly I realized my wife was doing more work than almost anyone else in the group. And yet, but different, it included children's groups, mother-child groups, German classes, and many, many different things. We tried to be creative and to use the abilities that we had available. So if someone came with a special ability, guitar, they could teach guitar. but through that, we show God's love and hope. And people then asked, well, why? Why are you doing this? And they would see the Bibles and the literature on the side, and they would then start to look at it and ask if they could have a Bible to take with them, or a piece of literature to take with them. And then we found out, oh, they were actually using these in family groups, actually extended family groups, reading to one another, because some of them could not read, and they're reading the scriptures together. And then those became Bible studies. Others offered to help with that initial Bible study, and then it became two Bible studies, and it became two churches. And yeah, God works in amazing ways. But it began with prayer, then help, showing God's love, and God's Spirit worked through us, touching people. Sometimes we have no idea how God's Spirit works through our lives. We often have a very narrow understanding of the work of God's Spirit, showing us His Word, explaining His Word to us, and that. But God's Spirit is active all around us. People are watching us, and people are being touched. So one day, this was very odd, but a man came for an appointment, and he rang the doorbell. And I didn't have time, so I said a week later we could meet. And he came a week later, and he said, well, I had been sleeping in a refugee home. He was a Muslim refugee. And he said, and this is in Turkish, and he was Kurdish. He said, I saw a vision of Christ. He said, then I went downstairs, and I saw a little angel in white. And it wanted me to follow him. And he said it led him to our door. Then there was a woman there who I know who didn't see the angel, but she helped him ring the doorbell. He was ready to know more. And he had heard about us, that we were doing good things in the neighborhood. And so God used those things. But we have victory through His death also over Satan, sin, and death. This is a message that for Muslims is amazing, because they are afraid. They're afraid of reading their holy book because of the jinn that they think are around them, demons. They're afraid of their God because He is a tyrant. And we wonder why many of the leaders in Islam are so vicious. It's because of the model they have in their God. We have a God of love, and He's changed our hearts and our lives. And He has given us that love for others. So Paul in Acts 26 said that he was sent to those, to the Jews, well, actually to those who needed the Lord, to bring them from darkness to light. Darkness to light. And that's the way it is. We often forget how dark it really is because we have the light. But one person said that the world, actually I've heard two different people say, the world went from black and white to color when they came to the Lord. I think that is what happens. But then also, to bring them from the power of Satan to God. Satan does have power, and he is very active in the world. He's very active. But God is the one who's in control and is stronger and can protect us and use us for His purposes. And then it's from sin, through forgiveness. God's forgiveness just is so overwhelming. To a sanctified life through our faith in Jesus. We are transformed. We become a different creation, a different person. The more I think about these things, the more it seems to me that even our genetics are changed as we follow the Lord and absorb His Word. Our genetics are transformed. We become. Someone said in our genetics, information is written about not just who we are, how we were created, but also about our experiences in life, and that means. God's Word also transforms who we are. We have this victory through Christ. And the same authority as Christ, he's given it to us, that same authority, which is just mind-boggling when you think about it. The one who was at the beginning with God, he was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The one who holds everything together, as in Colossians, he is in us. He has given us an authority that we can exercise for his purpose in the world around us, in the lives of other people. He took the fear of death away. He is the source of life and eternal life. The Muslims who are in fear of death because they think of the sin that they have and how, which they know they have, and how it will burden them, and they may fall over that razor blade wire and into hell for, at, they think, a period of time. They're afraid of that period of time, but it's forever. And yet, we have eternal life. And when they hear that, it just, it's an amazing, amazing thing for them to hear. He took the fear of sin and the consequences of God's judgment away. He took the fear of Satan and his demons away. And as God's Spirit works through us, through his word, and in the lives of others, we have been shared both Christ's victory and authority. We lift him up in our lives for him rather than for us to be seen. Okay. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, grace, and hope, for all that you've done in our lives, for all that you are doing in our lives, for the many plans that you have for us, wherever we are, in using us to change the world and other, the lives of others through your love and hope. We pray that you would guide us and use us as we follow you and consider these things in our hearts. Amen.